I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. Your time is valuable, so we've edited this episode for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. The old saw about real estate is that there are only three things that matter: location, location, location. The general idea being that one home may be virtually identical to another, but if one is situated in a so-called good neighborhood with good schools, etc., it will be easier to sell and at a much higher price than one in a place deemed less desirable. That's been the conventional wisdom throughout the last century. Perhaps it will remain so in the 21st. But it wasn't that long ago that the housing market in the U.S. imploded, throwing into disarray the notion that home ownership was a sector of the economy that would always be thriving. Suddenly, location gave way to desperation, and Dorothy's declaration that there's no place like home took on a whole new meaning. It's tempting to say that that was then, this is now, and we're going to find out if that's true here in Vermont and in the broader context, speaking with two industry experts on today's program. Joining me in our VPR studios in Colchester is Stage Davis, CEO of Four Seasons Sotheby's International Realty in Burlington, a statewide realtor. Stage Davis, thank you so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
And this disclosure that Sotheby's is a VPR underwriter. And from PEG TV Studios in Rutland, we're joined by Julie Citron, owner of REMAX Four Seasons in Manchester Center, which focuses chiefly on real estate in the southwest quarter of Vermont. Julie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Mitch.
And before we get into the details of buying or selling a home, I want to put this to both of you first, because memories can be short. Is housing fixed, as it were, after the collapse of 2008? Is it still vulnerable, in your view? I mean, should we still be concerned about whether the housing market could collapse yet again? Stage Davis, let's start with you.
I think that's a question we're all trying to answer at this point, because if you look chronologically at what the cycles have been in real estate, we were due for one a few years back, and right now the market is pretty terrific in a lot of markets. Not all, but a lot of markets. One thing to keep in mind is that Vermont is many different markets. Each one is different. Each locale is different.
Julie Citron, how are you feeling about the state of your business today?
Well, yeah, I would agree with the Stage in the fact that we have seen increase in several markets. Certain sectors, certain price points have seen different rises than others. We're seeing a lot of movement in the lower end of the market. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000 and below. We're seeing a lot of activity in that that area of the market per se, more so than the high end of the market, in the $500,000 and above. So,
do you feel that sales and prices have sort of rebounded to anywhere near the pre-2007 levels? And Stage, let me ask you that first, and Julie will ask you after that.
Statistically, that's just about where we are, maybe a little bit above where we were in 2007.
That's pretty good. That's Julie, pretty good. Are you seeing that kind of recovery?
We are. We're not quite there. Certainly, like Manchester, which is predominantly where I focus, we're just sort of getting back to that area. But we have seen increase in sales, certainly, in the last several years. So.
I find it really interesting when you talk about, Stage, you mentioned this, the different sections of Vermont. I mean, Vermont is not just one entity where it's one size fits all. You've got the Northeast Kingdom and the home prices that might be there, Chittenden County, and then Julie's part of the state. Generally speaking, as compared to the rest of the country, would you say that buying or selling a home is a pretty good prospect in the state of Vermont?
Supply is down in a lot of our markets here, so the choice is much narrower. And in some areas, like Mount Snow, for example, and downtown Burlington, we're seeing multiple offers on properties that come in the market if they're priced anywhere near correctly.
Anywhere near correctly, which would mean what?
Due to the comparables in the neighborhood, we help consumers figure out what the market price should be. But sometimes now we're seeing offers above market price.
Oh, that must be refreshing. Yes, and you were going to say
it doesn't happen that often. just in a few areas, but we are seeing that, especially in the lower price ranges. I would characterize the markets in each area as being segmented. Let's say $1 million and above, at least in the Chittenden County area, maybe 500 or 600 and above, and then below that. And the most active market is that bottom third in any part of the state.
And would that be a lot of first-time homebuyers as well, Julie Citron? I mean, when you're talking about that under $400,000 level, is that what most people are looking at to jump in for the first time?
Certainly, yes. That's a large part of the market. But we're also seeing a lot of, you know, we deal with vacation property homeowners as well, since we're near Bromley and Stratton Mountains. And we're seeing a lot of, you know, folks taking advantage of those lower price ranges to pick up a vacation property at a great value.
Don't those usually sell for more? That's what I think of when I think of vacation properties. Like, oh, that's going to be the million-dollar houses, or is that generally not true?
No, that's not true at all, actually. We're seeing a lot of movement in our condo market. And if you're, you know, if you're willing to, as you said, location, location, if you're willing to maybe not be right on Stratton Mountain, maybe not a ski-in, ski-out location, but you're willing to be, you know, 10 minutes from the mountain, or maybe you're in Manchester and, you can drive to those locations pretty reasonably, then you can reasonably get a great turnkey condo in the 250 range. There's a lot of great opportunities out there.
Stage Davis, something that Julie was just talking about, when you're talking about vacation properties, I wonder if there's a sort of a new wrinkle in things for people that want to buy a home, let's say, that's a lakefront property. Obviously, there are new challenges with that due to perhaps climate change, the health of Lake Champlain. What have you seen change over the last, say, 10 to 15 years when it comes to people that want to buy a home on or near the lake?
One of the advantages is our quality of life over any place else I can think of. One of the disadvantages is that we punish out-of-state homeowners a little bit by increasing their real estate taxes, which are already a little high. But there's a lot of choice on Lake Champlain, especially in the high end. And we've seen more, for example, million-plus sales this year than in prior recent years. That being said, there is an oversupply. The absorption rate is the number of months of inventory is very high for that property. But we are seeing movement, more sales than last year and the year before. So,
and you were saying that there's higher inventory there, but lower inventory, let's say, in the other general areas in Chittenden County?
If I took single-family homes up to 300 last May, 123 on the market. This May, or this June, 73 on the market.
Wow.
And 69 homes in May went under contract, and there are only 73 on the market currently. So that's a very hot market in that price range, which means that it's very competitive.
What's driving that, do you think?
There's demand in Chittenden County. There are jobs, activity, although statewide and some other places we're losing population, Chittenden County is growing. We are the second lowest birth rate in the country, and we're the second oldest. So what's going to drive our market in the future is jobs and
jobs.
Quality of life. If you can do your job from anywhere in the country, what's better than Vermont? It's a terrific place to live.
Julie Citron, are there holes in the product mix in Vermont? I mean, do we have the right mix of like houses, condos? You mentioned condos are selling pretty well, rentals, affordable housing. What's the mix like?
I think we have – we can certainly use – in our area, we have a lot of retirees that come to, as Stage said, a better quality of life. And so they like to look for something that preferably would be more one level. And so we are missing a lot of one level condo living. But I think there is a lot of availability in terms of, like, even for the first time home buyer out there, if you're willing to, you know, sort of roll up your sleeves and do a little blood, sweat, and tears to sort of fix something up, there's a lot of opportunity there. So
if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can get a better deal for sure. What are sort of the differences in what people are looking for, let's say, buying a single-family home as opposed to doing that condo townhouse thing? I mean, people are looking for very different things, I imagine, there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly with condos, you're looking at what the association offers you in terms of amenities, pool and tennis, perhaps, maybe some groundkeeping. And you don't have to worry about that, particularly with our Vermont winters, which is kind of nice. And so that allows them the affordability to perhaps travel or leave the area. It also provides the opportunity for good rental potential. We do a lot of seasonal rentals, both summer and winter rentals. But on the same token, if you were looking at owning your own home, you would have your, you know, your own space, your own yard if you have pets or, you know, children that you'd like to have some sort of room for them to play, that sort of gives you that opportunity. But you've got to take care of the more exterior maintenance on a single family residence. So
yeah, there's good and bad with all right. this stuff. Stage Davis, Julie mentioned the Vermont winters. Is it true that weather has an effect on whether people are buying or selling a home?
We used to think that you take your house off the market in the winter, but over the last couple of years, we've seen a lot more people looking. So is there a dead season? Not really the way there used to be. People who want to be here in the summer, for example, they might be looking in January to be somewhere in June. And we have so many ski area properties, you might be looking in the fall to get into a ski area condo or property in the winter. So
let's go to the phones. We've got Janet on the line from Lindenville. Hi, Janet.
Hi. I have a question. A lot of the homes are with a lot of elderly people reside in a lot of really great property, and I want to know if there's any new ideas or ways to structure sales when you offer a couple or elderly people price for their home, and how to structure the transition, the arrangements for, I don't know, how you do that.
For an elderly buyer, you're talking? Okay. Julie?
Yeah, so like offering them to buy their house, and then do they become renters, or maybe there's some other structures that make it more comfortable for them for the transition. Maybe they don't know what they want to do and how they want to spend the rest of their years. You know, maybe they have 5 years left.
Okay.
Before they move on or whatever.
Yeah, Janet, thank you very much for the call. Julie Citron, do you want to tackle that one about elderly folks looking to sell?
Sure. I mean, a lot of them are sort of predicting where they're going to be in, you know, 10 years or even 5 years down the road in terms of the quality of life that's going to work for them. So, you know, maybe they do need a one level living opportunity so that they don't have to go up and down stairs. Maybe they prefer to have a attached garage. So it's really sort of what their personal interests are. And maybe, as I had mentioned earlier, they want to have it so that we get a lot of snowbirds that like to head south. So they could maybe rent their property. So where is it, you know, located? Is it a good space that might attract, you know, maybe winter renters for them? So I think, I don't know if that answers your question, Janet, in terms of.
Well, I think we have this question as well for actually a comment from Fred in Cabot, and he's really talking more about affordability here. And I want to put this to you, Stage Davis, because he says that today only 50% of households are financially able to buy a home. But for several decades leading up to the bust, 65-70% of all households were able to do so. A lot of factors play into this, but the primary one by far, according to Fred, has been the transformation of residential housing into investment. As soon as residential housing is seen as an investment, prices rising faster than the stock market, investors jump in and they upgrade anything that's upgradable. Homeowners themselves do the same. Over time, these efforts add to the value, work themselves out. Entry-level homes simply vanish. Do you feel that that's an accurate statement that Fred's making?
During the recession, many, many investors bought housing that was either under foreclosure or about to be. What we thought would happen when the recession ended is that those houses would come back on the market. But the statistics show that the investors are not selling them because they can't make a better return in the stock market. So that supply of housing is gone. But in Vermont, not so true. There are numerous affordable housing projects going on in Vermont. There's never enough. It's kind of one of those elusive goals. You may never reach it, but I have to give the state and all the nonprofit housing organizations a great deal of credit for keeping after that eventual goal. So I don't know if I answered your question either, but.
Well, I think so. It's interesting because we always hear about affordability and you need more affordable housing. I think this may be even more true in the rental market than the buying market for buying a home. One of the things that Dennis emailed us was, what about affordability? Isn't Burlington turning into a mecca for luxury housing? But maybe what you're saying, Stage, is that's maybe not quite as true.
You know, I guess I wouldn't call Burlington luxury housing compared to Greenwich, Connecticut or other places.
Sure. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, the prices are high in Burlington. It is harder to develop in Vermont than it is in many other places. Not all. And the process is sometimes cumbersome, and that raises the price. The other thing that raises the price of rentals is the fact that the taxes, the real estate taxes in Vermont, are about the same as New Hampshire, but much higher than other places. So that's factored in. Mm-hmm. When you buy a house, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, association fee, that's how you qualify for a mortgage. So if the tax part of that is higher, it is a disadvantage for affordability. The other thing that's been great over the last couple of years is interest rates. You know, they're still low, so the affordability index is still pretty good. My first house I bought, 18.5% interest rate. So
18.5%.
So people who are thinking that, you know, 4 or 5
is high,
is high, perspective is a good thing. But it's a good question. I think most Vermont communities are focused on finding affordable housing. And again, it's an elusive goal, but I think Vermont does a pretty darn good job.
This question just surprised me a little, but I actually think it's relevant. Julie, let me put this to you. Bill in Jericho wants to know, what effect do you think the population explosion of ticks in Vermont and other northeastern states will have on rural real estate values in the future? I think that's a serious question, given what we're hearing about tick season, especially right now.
Yeah, that is a good question. I mean, I think certainly we've seen a rise in ticks, but, you know, I think people are still going to look for a better, better quality of life. They're still going to come to Vermont. And, you know, I think hopefully we'll come up with some sort of solution to manage the tick population. I think that was actually the conversation in the previous radio show that was just on. But, mm-hmm. You know, I haven't heard that from buyers. They're not as concerned about it. But I am aware of many fellow friends and associates that have gotten Lyme disease. And so it is something to be aware of and cautious of. But I'm not sure that that's going to hopefully affect the real estate market overall.
We're talking about real estate today, what to buy, where to buy it, how to buy it, should you buy it. We're talking about real estate. We've got two guests with us who know an awful lot about this. We've got Stage Davis with us, CEO of Four Seasons Sotheby's International Realty in Burlington, and Julie Citron, the owner of REMAX Four Seasons in Manchester Center. Let me ask you this, Julie Citron, before we get into some more of the nitty-gritty here, because we were talking before about that question, a really good question from Bill and Jericho about, you know, ticks. Would that keep somebody from possibly buying a home in the Northeast? What's one of the more unusual questions that you've had someone come to you with about buying a home, where you were a little bit taken aback and say, really, you're asking me that?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. I've been doing this for about 12 years now. And I mean, where we're getting a lot of questions right now is the whole school situation mm-hmm. in our area. I wouldn't say it's a question that's taken me back, but it's certainly something that we've been had to keep our finger on the pulse on what's going on with the, you know, the whole Act 46 and the school merger situation and how that impacts families that are moving to the area. And certainly even like 2 or 3 years ago when this all started to come about, a lot of homeowners with young families were saying, well, what's going to happen if I move to this town? And how is that going to impact, you know, where my child is going to go to school? So, I mean, I think that's probably been a little bit of a, you know, where are we headed in that direction? And that's been a tough sort of question to answer in terms of the whole education process.
Well, related to that, we got this note from Mike in Middlebury who wants to know, what are the current threats to markets and home values in Vermont, Stage?
You know, I think, again, all markets are local. A lot of it has to do with the economy, has to do with local jobs. If you look at Vernon, what's happened over the last couple of years with all the jobs leaving.
Vermont Yankee being sold.
It's been a challenge. And for our whole state, if you look at the state's forecast, which was by 2030, we're supposed to lose population, I don't know, I think it was 11,000 was the number. If we lose 11,000 in population, that will clearly impact some parts of the market in Vermont. If you look at Chittenden County, there are 3,000 units in the pipeline. Some of them are apartments. Some of them are single family. Some of them are luxury. That's a lot to absorb. So it'd be interesting to see how that affects the market.
Ed and Eileen in Bellows Falls sent this email. Could you give us some info on the real estate market in southeastern Vermont? We retired here last autumn because of affordable Victorian homes. The beauty of the Connecticut River and access to New Hampshire is a plus for them. What about that, Julie Citron? How are things in the southeastern part of the state?
Well, I don't focus. I'm a little bit more on the western side of the state, sort of the Route 7 corridor between Rutland and Bennington. So I assume it's pretty similar to what's going on our end, where we have seen some tightened up inventories, but more sales that have happened. I believe that the average sale price or the median sale price has gone up in sort of that Brattleboro area, which is what I assume he's sort of referring to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Bellows Falls is such a pretty little town. Yeah. I always love driving through there. Let's go to the phones. Ben is on the line from Barton. Hi, Ben. You're on Vermont Edition.
Hi, Mitch. How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
So I've got a friend that's buying a house, and there are some things that were not disclosed, cracking the foundation and other things, and they want her to not bring her realtor to the closing. I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on that.
Julie, you want to tackle that first?
Sure. Well, I think, disclosure is a big plus, Ben, that you talk about, and that's something that's always critical to, a conversation that we have with homeowners when we take listings, and certainly when we're working with buyers. We stand by a code of ethics as a member of the National Association of Realtors, and so we work with sellers to sort of make sure that we know all the material facts and that everything is disclosed. Now, sometimes sellers don't know, that there could be a crack in the foundation. They're just not aware of it. And that's critical to having an inspection, which is, certainly work with your agent to hire a good home inspector. And then, they sort of disclose any information, and that at that point it should be addressed. But I'm not really sure in your situation, certainly all the details, Ben, but hopefully everybody's just disclosing, what's relevant to the situation. And then you kind of got to work together to figure out, what's the best solution and still get the house sold and the home buyer, the future home buyer happy.
Stage, do you have some thoughts on this?
I don't think I really have enough information to give you a specific recommendation in terms of having a realtor come, but the business has changed so much since I got into it. I was selling in 1980. We had a one-page contract, no addenda, and now our contracts are over 10 pages. We had no radon inspection. We had no mold inspection. We had no home inspectors. So it was sort of buyer beware that the industry has changed substantially, and there are a lot of safeguards that there didn't used to be. But clearly what Julie said is good advice.
Right.
Get a good home inspector. Home inspectors are not masters of all the systems in your house, so if there's a problem with a furnace or the roof, get an inspector specific to that problem.
Let's take Ed on the line calling from Essex. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I'm a buyer in today's very tight market, and a common situation that buyers frequently run into when they're thinking of presenting an offer to an agent is the agent will say, well, there is another offer on the property, and of course that influences the way buyers think about their offer. But there's no way for buyers to verify whether there's another offer on their property or not. And they sort of feel like, as a result, that they're held hostage. That's the first half of my question. The second half is that in a tight seller's market, how do buyers know that their competing offer, if they decide to make one, was ever even presented? And there's no way for buyers to verify that either.
That's a great question, Ed. Julie Citron, what about that? What about Ed's concerns?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. Well, Ed, I think, first of all, it goes back to understanding your agent, your relationship with your real estate agent. Are you working with a buyer's agent, or are you going directly to the agent that has the listing, first of all? So if you're working directly with the, or you've put in an offer with the agent that has the listing, that agent is working for the seller. And so they are trying to get the best and highest offer for their seller. If you're working with a buyer's agent, then that buyer's agent is going to try to determine, you know, if there are other offers out there. They won't be able to find out the terms of those offers, but they certainly would be able to know whether there is another offer and this sort of represent you in saying, you know, what are you comfortably able to afford? What do you want to pay for this house? And I think you look at it in a situation that's best for you, the buyer. And you just put your best foot forward in terms of, you know, how desirable how much do you want that house?
What about that pressure, though, Julie? Ed was saying, you know, we've got another buyer. They're looking at this, you know, and you want to make sure that that's true. You don't want to feel like, and Stage Davis is putting his hand up here. I think he wants to take this one. Stage, why don't you, what about that?
First of all, it would be totally unethical for the listing agent to say, I have an offer when there isn't one. Secondly, it is a good idea to be represented as a buyer. Do we have any sure way of knowing there's another offer? We can ask for proof as a buyer's agent. It might not be presented that way, but in any case, you should be represented. And if you don't have someone you trust, I would suggest you find someone that you do trust.
There are people, though, who will say, look, you know, if I sell the home myself, I don't have to pay the commission. You know, I mean, you know, there is that angle of it, but you're saying that it really is, there is value to having someone representing you.
The complexity of the deals these days, as I just explained, all the inspections, et cetera, is so much different than it used to be. You can also hire an attorney. I would recommend, first off, that you find someone to represent you, whether you are a buyer or a seller. The average for sale by owner gets substantially less than one that's listed.
Julie Citron, let me ask you this, because I always find this part of home selling fascinating, what they call staging, like the little things you can do to make your home look more desirable when someone's coming to look at it. Obviously, you don't want to leave dirty laundry lying around. You don't want to be microwaving fish leftovers right before someone comes to see the house. Are there any tricks of the trade, though, you can share for what is called staging a home?
Yeah, sure. And you know, you were talking about fish. Well, you know, my recommendation is to, you know, put some cookies in the oven and create
that good
home
cookie
that,
smell.
Yep. But no, just, you know, very basic stuff, decluttering, you know, getting rid of, you know, personal items, pictures, you know, collectibles, keeping your countertops nice and clean, cleaning out closets, which I know everybody's like, let's just shove it in the closet and close the door. But, you know, buyers open up closets. They want to know what kind of space we're talking about. Mm. You know, my advice is if you're going to list your house for sale, be in the mindset that you want to sell your house. So start packing.
Yeah.
Start putting stuff in boxes and sort of just get going in terms of that. And so then it looks a lot neater, a lot cleaner. I mean, the next step is really to do something a little bit beyond the staging, and that's to put some minor touches, such as, you know, do some nice landscaping, do a nice front door approach, make sure that you've got good curb appeal. So when somebody pulls up, they're going to say, wow, that's, you know, that's really nice. And that can be achieved relatively easily. And other things like, you know, maybe change out the carpet. Maybe it's 15-year-old carpet. And you know, a lot of sellers have, well, let the buyers decide what they want to put into flooring.
Yeah, and there's a psychological effect, yeah. I imagine, too, because people want to think of the home as they picture it in their head. It's going to be their home. And so you do want to take out some of the clutter and the personal mm-hmm. touches there. I want to ask one more question of you, Stage Davis. We're running out of time here. But you and I had been talking before about the willingness of someone to let go of a notion of what they want to get for their home as opposed to what they realistically can. I mean, what should you do if your home's been on the market for a while and no one's buying, but you think it's worth this much? What's your advice to that person?
Well, I suffered from this personally during the recession, so I can speak to it. But if you think about it, some people say, I'm waiting for the market to improve. And if you look at the market over time and you stuck the money that you were thinking about getting for your house at a lower price in an index fund, you would be better off today. So the market in Vermont is not increasing exponentially as it is in some other areas. Although we are seeing appreciation, it's not something I would wait for. And if you're not getting an offer in this market, you should be thinking about where your price is.
Stage Davis, CEO of Four Seasons Sotheby's International Realty in Burlington, thank you so much for your time today.
You're most welcome.
And Julie Citron is the owner of RE/MAX Four Seasons in Manchester Center. Thank you so much, Julie.
You're welcome. My pleasure.